Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen.
And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Everything is possible for one who believes.
Welcome to Faith Matters. You have been listening to some of the greatest material published in print. And tonight we're going to read through chapter 22, break it down for you here, and see what we're talking about in this book that describes the 31 ways to be rapture ready. If you've been following, you know we have so many different things we've learned so far about the rapture and the tribulation. And
it's been a good study.
It's been great. I mean, I cannot believe I never would have thought in my life. Okay, let me just make it clear. Prior to us reading these books on the air, several years ago when we started with our first one.
Yes.
Now, I think it's been four or five of them. But prior to that, I had read two books in my life. Now, I'd read several encyclopedias and manuals.
Right.
And programming manuals. But I'd only read two books in my life ever. And so now, here we are, reading a book together. And it's been a great experience. So, using the Fair Use Act, we're going to break this chapter 22 down in Dr. David Jeremiah's book. Again, check out his book anywhere you buy books. You can order it online, or you can stop by your favorite bookstore to find his works. Dr. David Jeremiah, on the radio, on TV, and in print. Why the delay? So let's get started here and see what we're talking about. I've traveled my fair share over the decades, and flight delays have challenged my patience, he writes. Yours too?
Yeah.
You ever been?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When airlines give us a timetable, we build our plans around it and expect them to stay on schedule. But whenever I'm tempted to fly off the handle, I simply remember to be thankful I wasn't aboard United Airlines 857 from San Francisco to Shanghai in March of 2012. Do you remember about that flight?
I don't.
The plane departed San Francisco at 2 p.m. on Sunday. Total flight time was scheduled at 13 hours. 3 hours in, however, the plane was diverted to Anchorage, Alaska. The problem had to do with the bathrooms. There weren't enough functional laboratories to ensure everyone's comfort on such a long flight.
Oh my. That could have gotten messy.
When the plane landed in Anchorage, passengers were forced to remain on board for 90 minutes while air traffic controllers arranged a gate. The travelers were given vouchers for a single meal and a hotel, then told to return the next day to resume their journey to Shanghai.
Hmm.
Interesting, because I stopped over in Alaska one time. Another day, another delay. The new flight was scheduled to depart at 1 p.m. on a replacement plane, but the vehicle just sat there for more than 2 hours. Then, after boarding, he says, passengers were informed the replacement plane was also malfunctioning. They pried themselves out of their seats, retrieved their luggage, and returned to the terminal once again. And by this time, I suppose they were grumbling. On Tuesday, a third plane finally departed Anchorage and had successfully delivered its passengers to Shanghai. 3 days late.
Dang.
But thankfully safe and sound. People don't like delays in general, but it's especially frustrating when we don't understand why it's being forced to wait. That's true of waiting during a trip, at a doctor's office, in a grocery line, or in traffic, or for a package to arrive. And it's also true of waiting for God to deliver His promises, including His promise of the rapture. After all, the very first verse of the book of Revelation says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave Him to show His servants things which must shortly take place." Notice the word shortly. shortly. Okay, so Dr. David Jeremiah says, if I tell Donna, that must be his wife, right?
Yeah.
If I tell Donna I'm going to go down to the store for a gallon of milk, but I'll be back shortly, she wouldn't expect me to be gone for 2 days, let alone 2,000 years.
Right.
Or 3 days. So the final chapter of Revelation uses the word quickly to describe the return of Christ that will initiate the end times. In fact, you can find the word quickly used 4 times in Revelation 22. In verse 12, Jesus said, "Behold, I am coming quickly." And in verse 20, he repeated his promise saying, "Surely I am coming quickly." Soon, quickly. For centuries, believers have echoed John's response to that promise. Amen. Ever so close. Come quickly.
Right? Let's say it now. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly.
Exactly. Lord, come quickly, Maranatha. We saw in the previous chapter that the rapture is imminent, meaning it can happen at any moment. Yet our Lord Jesus has not yet returned. Oh, so it's quickly and soon and imminent, but yeah, he's still not here. For 2,000 years, Christians have watched and waited for the catalyst of the rapture to coalesce into the next phase in God's prophetic plan. And we're still waiting. So I guess it's a fair question to ask. Why the delay? So, before we get to that part, and I'll let you read this next part called The Lord's Perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get to that, I would like to just say that is probably one of the counter arguments to non-Christians or people who don't understand the faith. How you can believe in something and say that it's quickly and soon and imminent, and you're still sitting around waiting.
Right.
Right? That's called faith.
So the Lord's perspective. Would you believe people were asking that same question even in the first century?
Yeah.
When the Apostle Peter wrote his second epistle to the churches in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey, he likely did so from the depths of a prison in Rome. Condemned to die by Emperor Nero, Peter's goal for that letter was to confront false teachers who had permeated the church and to correct the doctrinal confusion they had caused. Interestingly, one of the questions people in the early church seem to be asking is the same one that puzzles us. Why the delay? By the time it had been almost 40 years since Jesus died, rose again, and ascended into heaven with the promise to prepare a place for his followers, the early church was aware of that promise, and many wondered why it was taking so long.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, as Peter noted, false teachers were already using the delay to cast doubt to God's faithfulness and the dependability of Christ's promised return.
Yeah, like I was saying, right.
Mm-hmm. Scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." 2 Peter 3, 3 and 4. Remember the definition of the biblical phrase last days? It refers to the period between the end of Jesus' public ministry and the moment of the rapture. The Christians of Peter's generation were part of the last days just as we are. We are in the last days.
Oh, okay. That's a good perspective.
Yeah.
Well, the last days are the blink of an eye between Jesus going to heaven and
Jesus coming back.
Okay, I got it.
Right. In their time, as in ours, false teachers attempted to cast doubt upon the reality of Christ's return by pointing out that Christ had not yet returned as he had promised. How did Peter respond? Well, first, by reminding his readers that our human perspective on time is different from God's perspective. He told them, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, One day is as though 1,000 years.
Wow.
And 1,000 years as one day.
Yeah, I was trying to remember that scripture. That was 2 Peter 3:8, right?
Correct. That verse contains an allusion to Psalm 90, verse 4. That states...
Oh, right. That's very similar.
1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night.
Just like a night. Just like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 1,000 years. The psalmist's point, and Peter's as well, is simple and logical, because God is eternal. He experiences time differently than we do. I mean, remember, he told us we wouldn't understand, and we aren't like him, so we just have to live on faith here.
Right.
The Bible is God's book, and the words represent his vocabulary. We have to understand this. We have to understand how he is using the words, how he intends to go, and how he intends for us to understand them, and what he means by them from his perspective. So you heard a lot of he and his in there, right? Because it's not about us.
Right.
It's all about him and his perspective. So we have to study scripture in context here. So the New Testament scholar Doug Moo explained it. He said, God views the passing of time from a different perspective than we do. We are impatient, getting disturbed and upset by even a short delay. God is patient, willing to let centuries or even millennia go by as he works out his purposes. Peter is not telling his readers that they are wrong to believe that Christ's return is imminent. What he is telling them is that they are wrong to be impatient when it does not come as quickly as they might like or hope. So those Christians, my words here now, those Christians who say, you know, come Lord Jesus, you know, I hope that they have that perspective, that it's not about them and their need to get out of this misery,
right,
but about God's plan being completed. And the Bible teaches God exists in the past, present, and future at the same moment. So for God, later is the same as earlier.
Okay. That's a good point.
Oh my gosh. Oh, my physics friends and in school would have just tripped on this one. Let's read that again. Let's read that again. This is crazy. If God exists in the past, present, and future at the same moment, then that means that God, for God, that later is the same as earlier. He doesn't have any sense of time.
Yeah.
Like we think of time.
Right.
Being finite. He's infinite.
Right.
Ah, the end is the same as the beginning. The Alpha and the Omega. Now right. is the same as then.
Ha ha. This is a great mystery, and it's hard to wrap our heads around the concept of an eternal God. But if God were anything less than eternal, he would not, in actuality, be God. And if one day, when the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day, then from God's perspective, Jesus hasn't been gone for as long as it seems. To us, it's just 2 days. Right? 1,000 years is one day, right? So it's just 2 days. Loved ones, Peter said in essence, don't forget this one thing. This is important. This is significant. Remember that God doesn't work on our timetable. His plans are based on his perspective and his perception, not ours.
Right. And the Lord has patience. The Lord's patience. Wow. The second reason for the Lord's delay in returning to this earth is found in verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us. 2 Peter 3:9. Some of the false teachers in the early church were claiming God is slow to carry out his promise, that he is unconcerned and he doesn't care. But Peter said it's better to take God's delay in another direction. This delay in the coming of Christ is not because of a lack of concern, but is actually a sign of how much he cares for and loves people. He's waiting because he's patient.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. We're all messed up still, and he's waiting.
I know.
Yeah. He wants people to come to him before it's too late, because he's not a slave driver, He didn't create robots or AI bots. He created human beings individually as individual souls.
And he wants to give as many people a chance as possible, too.
His love has to be voluntary. You have to accept this free gift. And in the book of Joel, we read, "Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm." That's Joel 2:13. Paul asked, "Do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" Romans 2:4.
Mm-hmm.
John Piper wrote, "Since our God is immortal, God does not age, does not forget, sees all history at a glance, and is never bored. He clearly does not experience time like we do."
Right.
Don't fail to recognize this. It is no argument against Christ's second coming that almost 2,000 years have passed since his departure. From God's experience of time, it is though Christ just arrived at his right hand, like Andy said earlier, the day before yesterday. 2 days ago.
2 days ago.
2,000 years is like 2 days to God.
Yep.
The scriptures say. And another author says it like this. "Instead of casting doubt on his promise, God's seeming delay actually highlights his heart. His waiting isn't due to his impotence, but to his mercy." That's a beautiful graphic you have there. Romans 2:4, we should read that again. "Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?"
Mm-hmm.
Repentance is the key to salvation.
It is.
I mean, for a person in making that decision, you have to turn. First, you have to realize that you fall short.
Right.
As scripture says. And then turn from that. And that doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, but you have to turn 180 degrees.
Correct.
The importance of this should not be lost on us. If Jesus had come in the year 500 or in 1500, or if he had come in, say, 1875,
yeah,
right, none of us would have been yet born. You would not have been able to enjoy your daily walk with Christ. You would not have been able to relish the promises of the Word of God. You would not have been able to look forward to eternal life. Had Jesus come in an earlier era, none of us would have been around. None of us would have been caught up in the rapture. And none of us would have been resurrected. But because of God's patience, the epochs of time have been extended to include even us within his redemptive and glorious grace. Thank you, Jesus, for your patience.
Mm-hmm.
Point there is that you were born in the perfect time, and so was he.
Yes. And finally, the Lord's preference. We come to God's desiring regarding the timing of the rapture. Jesus has delayed his coming because he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, in 2 Peter 3:9. That's God's preference.
Yes.
In the book of Ezekiel, the Lord said, "Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, and not that he should turn from his ways and live?"
Right.
That's Ezekiel 18:23.
Right.
God longs for people to come to repentance. He wants to give people every opportunity to change their minds and return to him and to his ways. True Christian repentance involves a heartfelt conviction of sin, a contrition over the offense to God, and turning away from the sinful way of life and turning towards a God-honoring way of life. Remember the story of the prodigal son? Even though the prodigal had wounded and abandoned his dad with disdain and disrespect, the father waited patiently for his wayward son to come back to him, loving him the whole time as he was waiting, looking for him from the front porch, longing for him to come home.
That's right.
That is God's preference for all people today, that we would end our rebellion and come back to him. Speaking of coming back, have you heard of the wonderful partnership between Greyhound Bus Lines and the National Runway Safe Line? An organization that serves and supports youths who have run away from home? Because of this partnership, any child between the ages of 12 and 21 who has run away from their parents or guardians can receive a free ticket home.
Better still, the organizations provide more than transportation. They partner with the parents and the youth to create a plan for returning home safely and for working through the issues that led the child to run away in the first place. I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
We'll have to dig into that and do a special on Greyhound if that's the case. The family is connected with people and resources in their community that provide long-term support. This is what so many people are asking for, is what can my community do? What about resources? How can I get help? How can we help these youth? How can we help these parents? I think it obviously, absolutely starts with today's parenting.
Yes, I agree.
It's not possible for any person to physically run away from God. That's a good promise and a good realization.
Right.
Our Heavenly Father is present in every place and knows everything that can be known. But it is possible to turn away from God's goodness and love, to rebel against His authority, even to reject Him and to remove ourselves from the protection of His loving kindness. Why would anybody dare to do that? It's so clear. If that's the case for you, why not return today? This is your direct invitation from Dr. David Jeremiah.
And from us.
From us, exactly. And from every Christian who has a heart for others. We want you to understand that you can return regardless of what you have felt or done in the past. Your future can be with the assurance of salvation and eternal life after your body has perished. Why not return today? There's no physical ticket necessary. You can get this virtual ticket today and you don't even need internet access.
That's right.
No distance to travel or red tape to cut through. Just turn back towards Jesus. Say to God, Lord, I know I have sinned. I am sorry. I wish to follow you. I realize Jesus died for my sins. And for that, I have the promise of eternal life as I put my faith in Him. Just do that today, and you shall receive the promise. God is always waiting to welcome you with open arms. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus.
And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Then the God of peace will be with you.